You've seen pictures of my family, of my wife, my daughter, my son, his wife, pictures of people in Colombia. And Colombia has a rising of the sun about every day, about 6 a.m. As the lights come up, rising of the sun at 6 a.m., approximately every day. And then it sets about 6 p.m. every day. It might adjust that, 5-10 minutes throughout the year. But it's very common to see very little change. And when the lights go out, it becomes very dark, especially in Bogota when there is no electricity. For 4 hours, for those first years that we were in Colombia, there was no electricity. They were having an outage and a shortage of electricity. And so we were having to read by candlelight. And Naomi wants to come and share with you some of those things this evening. And I'm going to help her tonight for the first time.
We'll see how this goes. We've both been on tour and we've been in different churches, so tonight we're going to do our thing together. So we'll see how this turns out. You know, when we were in Bogota and the lights would be, the power would be off for about 4 hours a night, I learned I made a latch hook rug by firelight and by candlelight. We read all the Narnia series to our kids. We kind of felt like we were Mr. and Mrs. George Washington living back, in the Stone Age. At one time, every time someone would come to visit us, we would go a couple hours north of the city to a place called Zipaquirá, north of Bogotá, and there's a salt mine there. And it's very interesting because you go into this salt mine, and when you get into the heart of this cave, there's a big cathedral that's carved out of salt. And then you can go around, and you can see all the stations of the cross, and all of this is carved out of salt. Well, one time we went out there with a whole group of young people that had come from the States to visit us with our missionary kids and all the other missionary kids. We get out to the salt mines, and we get into the heart of that cave, and we were looking around at all of the exhibitions and the displays in there. And guess what happened? The lights went out. Now, when the lights go out and you're in the middle of a cave, it's a darkness that you can just feel. One time, Doug went spelunking and caving with our sons, and he said, "God, if you ever get me out of here alive, I will never do this again." But this time, that's what I felt like when we were in the heart of the cave. It was pitch black. You could see absolutely nothing. And somebody said, "Look, I've got a light on my watch," and pushed a little button on their watch, and the light lit up, and we had this little tiny blue light. And when it's dark, even a little bit of light gives a lot of light. So we joined our hands together, and we began to snake our way out of that mine, and shortly a man came in with a miner's hat on and a flashlight to lead us and many others out of the cave. Guess what happened when we got outside? The lights came back on.
Our son Tim was playing with David soccer, and he kicked the soccer ball over the wall. And we had been gone on special missionary field forum. That meant that we had left Tim and Dave with our babysitter, Gloria. And Gloria was taking care of them, and she sent Tim over the wall with permission. And he went over, but the wall was almost 3 times higher on the opposite side in the field where the cows grazed. And he couldn't climb back the wall, and so he had to walk about a mile to the interstate, a very high-speed 4-lane highway. And it was dark, no lights. It was time to turn off the lights. And so he was out there lost. And Gloria, with a hand on David's hand, walked for miles with a candle, with one solitary candle, hollering, "Tim! Tim, where are you, Tim?" She found him on the bridge, walking over top of the interstate, trying to decide which way he should go home. He was about 7 or maybe 8 years old. We thank God for his protection on our son, Tim.
We thank the Lord for light. Light is very important, and at Christmas time in Colombia, we start the Christmas season on December the 7th. Now, on December the 7th, it's a very important day because that's the day that all the kids get to play with matches and fire, and you take candles and you put them all out on the sidewalks, and you light the candles because you're lighting the way for the Virgin. We celebrate the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and so everybody goes out on the sidewalk to light
the way for the virgin. And you can't let the candles burn out, so you keep them going all night long until they just all burn down, and then the festivities end. But, you know, that's a very important time for the Colombians, to light the way for the virgin. You know, the Bible talks about lighting the way, but it doesn't talk about lighting the way for the virgin, does it? It talks about lighting the way for the bridegroom who is to come. And the story is told in Matthew chapter, chapter 25, 1 to 13, where Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins, that the bridegroom was to come, and Jewish tradition is that the bridegroom would come at the least expected hour, and he would go, and he would retrieve his lovely bride, and he would take her back to his home to become his bride. Well, the parable tells of 10 virgins that had lamps, and they all went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them, what did five of them do? Pardon? Okay, five of them took oil with them, so they were all ready for when the bridegroom came. And five of them went, they had their lamps, but they were empty, weren't they? And the bridegroom delayed in his coming, and they all fell asleep. And then around midnight, the cry comes, "Wake up, come out to meet the bridegroom when he comes." And so the ladies who had their oil in their lamps, they lit their lamps, and they were ready to meet the bridegroom when he arrived. The five who didn't have light in their lamps, they said, "Please share your oil with us." And they were told, "No, you have to go back to the city and get the oil there, because you have to get the oil from the power source." You know, the same is true with our lives today. Jesus is coming again, and he wants us to have our lights trimmed and burning brightly and to be ready for his arrival. And when he comes, we don't know what day he might come, but we should be ready for him. And we can't give our oil to somebody else. We can't share. We can't give anybody salvation. They've got to get it from the only source, and that's the light, the one true light that lights all men that come into the world.
As we come to talk about the light of the world, Jesus, we think about the religious candles that are lit in Colombia quite often. People put their religion on autopilot. They take a candle similar to this one, and they'll light it, and it represents their prayers going up to heaven. And we see that the people are often like that. I've heard stories of assassins praying to the Virgin and lighting a candle and saying, "Direct my bullet so that it does the job that I intend for it to do." There is a way of living, but it's not that way. And it says in the Scriptures that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Also, it talks in the Scriptures of the fact that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I hope that none of us put our religion on autopilot, such as some of those have done.
You know what? That light isn't really a light at all, because they're trusting in their good works to get them to heaven, and that will never get anybody to heaven, because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Well, I have another candle here, and this one is an aromatherapy candle. I'm sure you see them in the stores all over the place. This one is called Tranquility. So please don't fall asleep back there, all right? It's supposed to rejuvenate you and soothe you. So you might be a few years younger by the time this message is over tonight. But this candle symbolizes so many of our people in Colombia. They have gotten disenchanted with a traditional religion. They haven't found that they can't quite work their way to heaven. And so they're looking within themselves. What was the original lie that the serpent told Eve in the garden? Oh, it isn't true. If you eat that fruit, God knows, he will not punish you, but he knows that you will become like God. And we all want to be like gods. And so many people are turning to the New Age to find that inner strength and the power within, or in the reincarnation, to come back again and again and again to perfect themselves to such a point that they will be able to go to heaven to be with God. But many people are turning to the New Age. This reminds me of a woman that I met in Cali. Her name is Nadia. Now, Nadia was born in Moscow, Russia. Her mother and dad were both communists. Her father was in the military. And the day that she was born, her mother had tuberculosis. So she was taken from her mother's womb, and her mother never held her in her arms. And she was placed into an institution, and she was brought up by the communist system just in schools, and she was trained in communism. When I met Nadia, she said to me, "You know, it isn't that we in Russia we don't believe in God, But God has been locked in a closet all of our lives, and we never knew that he really existed. But when she was a beautiful young teenager, a man from Colombia went to Moscow to study in the university there, and they met and they fell in love. And they were married, and he took her back to Colombia, where she saw symbols of the traditional religion all around her. But since that could not really light the light in our hearts, we aren't saved by good works. She didn't find anything in the traditional church to fill the void in her life. And so she has turned to the new age and to look within. And that, too, is a light that doesn't really give light at all. This candle here is short and wide, these pillar candles. And you ladies who have candles at home, what's the thing we don't like about pillar candles? They all burn down in the middle, don't they? Well, you know what? That's what's happening to my poor candle here. But this candle reminds me of a lady named Leonor. She was about that high and about that wide. And when she came into our church for the first time, she was one of these people that was very self-centered, burning down the middle. You know, all she could see were her own problems and her own difficulties. She said, "All I want to do is jump out of that window and run in front of the first car that comes along." And she wanted to commit suicide. And as we had the opportunity to share the gospel with her, she came to know Jesus as her personal Savior. Now, for those of you who are, you men can go to sleep here, but the ladies who are interested in candles, somebody who sells candles and did candle parties told me what you're supposed to do for these pillar candles. It says the first time you light it, you're only supposed to light it for 5 or 10 minutes and then blow it out. And then after that, you can light it for a few more minutes and then blow it out. And each time, you're supposed to smooth the wax down into the hole where the wax has been melted. Because what happens to these things, if you let them burn like this during the whole time you're talking, then it gets a big old hollow in the middle. And pretty soon, that candle starts to wallow in its own wax, and it just burns out. But if you want your pillar candles to last you for a long time, then you need the instructions say you have to hug your candle. You know, this reminds me of so many people in Colombia who come to our churches. They are hurting. They are wallowing in self-pity. They see no purpose in life. They are self-centered in all of their needs. And they're just, they need somebody to love them. And I think that this is just kind of what discipleship is all about. Loving them and molding them and fashioning them and teaching them so that they can become all that God wants them to be. And Leonor has found Christ as her Savior, and she really isn't wallowing in self-pity today. She's become a beautiful Christian and a marvelous testimony for Jesus.
Also, when you think of candles, you can buy a very beautiful decorative candle like this flower, but nobody ever lights these things. They just sit around, and they're pretty. And that reminds us of a lady by the name of Celia Isabel. She has a religion. She comes to church, but she has not, at this point, made a public confession that she really trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. And she grew up in a home that is considered Protestant, and she has not, at this point, determined to say out loud in public, "I love the Lord Jesus." And so we don't see a light coming from her life. We see decoration. She is one of these that is always concerned about her body and about her presentation, that she has a very nice job and she's well respected by everybody. And when it's time for her birthday, they celebrate her birthday a whole month because she is so popular. And during that month of October, everybody celebrates Celia Isabel's birthday. But we need to see in her the life of Jesus Christ, and we are praying to that end. Oh, by the way, this is the month of Pastor Appreciation Month, and we appreciate you, Pastor Bob, and thank you for your ministry here. And some other decorative candles that seem like they're just hanging around and getting nowhere, they collect dust. And you don't ever light them. They've got a string that attaches them. They could be lit. They could show light, but we don't use them. And that reminds us of a gentleman by the name of Juan Sines. He has given his wife a terribly hard time, mocked her, and cursed her for her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to the church with her, but then that gives him ammunition to put her down. and to laugh at her and mock at her. And so we don't see light in his criticisms or in his rebukes or in his self-righteousness. He needs to humble himself and let the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ blaze in his heart. I believe he's coming to that point where he is beginning to believe. And we pray that the Lord will cut that string of dependence and depend upon the Lord and not just hang around good for nothing, but become a light in the world of Cali, Colombia.
This one. This candle here, I don't know if you can see this, but I've got a bowl of water, and this is a floating candle. And this reminds me of a lot of people that we have in Colombia. They come to know Jesus, but they have a little run-in with the pastor of their church. And so they go out drifting on the sea of searching for churches, and they just kind of float around from church to church. They're looking for the perfect pastor with the perfect congregation. And when they get there, the church isn't perfect because nobody's perfect. But we have had many people like this come in to our church who have not been able to face the issues that they had in the last congregation. And then they come and they say, well, I don't like the music here, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and the Holy Spirit isn't here. And they want to remake your church into the church that they just left. Now, they didn't like that church, but maybe it was because they weren't able to manipulate that pastor either and make it into the way they wanted it to be. So we have a lot of people who come to our churches that are just kind of drifters, and they drift around. Now, these people never really become accountable to anybody. They're not discipled. They don't grow in the Lord. And while I've been doing this, talking about candles, and my floating candles have burned out 3 times. You know, these people, their fire goes out because they're not attached to the body and they don't really belong to a specific church. These kind of people are really hard to work with because they already come with their preconceived ideas. Maybe they've been in a group that has a little bit of strange doctrine, and there's a lot of that out there. We have a lot of name it and claim it theology in Colombia. You know, if I declare it with my mouth, God will definitely do it. And so God is my puppet, and I can ask him for anything, and he will absolutely do it. So we have a lot of people like that that drift around from church to church, and they bring with them all the baggage that they had from the last place that they were in. This candle here, can I have a light, please? This candle here, do you remember when you were a kid, some of you people are as old as I am or older than I am. You remember when you were a kid and in Sunday school you used to sing a song, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day, in every way try to please him, where?
At home.
At home, at school, at play. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. Well, that's what God wants, but you know what? So many of our believers in our churches have become tea lights for Jesus. I'll be a tea light for Jesus to shine for him each day. As long as I'm inside of the church, then I can shine for Jesus. But then we get outside in the world, we really don't lighten our darkened world, do we? We are just the only place that we give a testimony is in the church. This reminds me of a number of the ladies that I work with on Wednesday. They come to this prayer group that we have, and as long as they're there, you'd think they love the Lord with all of their heart, that they're just really on fire for Jesus, that they just are, you know, super Christians. And then they go out and they go home, and their husbands call them fieras. That means they're savage beasts. They go home and they just, you know, rip their husbands all apart. They're all in the corporate ladder clawing their way to the top, and they don't care who they step on, whether it's their husbands or not. Their kids are miserable. These are really high-maintenance kind of ladies, you know, that they're more important with their outward appearance, just like Celia Isabel, more important and more interested in the outward appearance than a change of heart. But we have a lot of people who are just tea lights for Jesus, and God doesn't want us to be tea lights. He wants us to be sunbeams for Jesus and to go out and lighten our darkened world. This candle here, give it a light. This candle here reminds me of a young woman that I met. Her name is Monica. And when I met Monica, she was 23 years old. And she was the most unhappy and most miserable woman I had ever seen in my life. When she was young, she got involved with a guy who had been a drug trafficker. And he could give her the world. And so she put her education on hold and she just moved in with this guy. And later on, she was repentant about the lifestyle that she was living, but you know, she was bound in a situation and she couldn't get free. Doug met this her husband and led him to the Lord. He was a quadriplegic. Perhaps you've already heard the story. He was quadriplegic. He was in a wheelchair. He was very unhappy, but God came into his heart and he totally transformed him. And he wanted to walk again. That was his one burning desire. And he wanted to tell other people about Jesus. And I always looked at him like the future Johnny Erickson Tod of Latin America, that they wheel him out onto the platform, and he would tell the world this glowing story of how he'd been a drug trafficker, how he'd been an assassin, how he came to know Jesus as his Savior, and his life was totally transformed. But, you know, all she wanted to do was really to be free. And I discovered they weren't married. I said, well, there's a door. Why don't you just leave? She said, because if I leave, nobody will ever love that man. And so when I first saw her, she was the most unhappy woman I'd ever seen. And she came to know Jesus as her Savior. And he changed that sadness into joy. And he gave her a love for this man that she really didn't, she just tolerated before. And you know what? As we discipled her, this woman began to grow in the Lord and to grow in her relationship with Jesus Christ and to let her light shine for him. You know, one day they put their apartment up for rent and five people came in and they put a silencer to his head. They tied up everybody else in the house and they put a silencer up to his head and they killed him. And with that one bullet, God answered both of their prayers, because today he's walking with Jesus and today she's free to make wise choices. And I ran into Monica after her husband had been killed, and she was back home living with her mother. She was back at the university. She was attending a four-square church as she was growing in the Lord. She was having her son brought up in the church. You know, it's important that young people, and even more, even before you're 23 years old, if you could just give your heart to Jesus, and then you have a whole lifetime to shine for Jesus and to lighten your darkened world.
There are also older people, such as Luz Bedoya. Her life has been shortened after many years of giving light to a world. She prays often for the pastors of the church. Often she calls people, and she calls her calling the ministry of mistakes. She'll call the pastor, and she'll get somebody else. And they'll say, this is a wrong number. And she'll say, oh, but I would like to talk with you. May I? And pray for you. Do you have a need that I can pray for? And people confess their needs to her and say, pray for me for this and that. And she spent hours on the telephone praying with people through her ministry of mistakes, trying to call and encourage. She would come to the church often with a cookie wrapped in a Kleenex, and it'd have a little ribbon on it. Or she would have a little gift and say, I'm praying for you. And she'd write a little note and say, God bless you. Luz Bedoya was a light in our world. She has passed away now, but we still remember that light of hers, that she shines. And it says in the scriptures that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. May the Lord give us, even in our old age, light that will impact our world for the Lord Jesus Christ, as Luz Bedoya did.
You know, the body of Christ is made up of all of these, and here I have a plate. This represents the church, and I have a bunch of candles that are just kind of all molded together into one, and that reminds me of what the body of Christ is like. We are all members of the same body. We all have all differing gifts. We're not all the same. Doug and I are very different in our personalities and in the way we do things. And yet God has placed all of us in his body. All of these are fragrance candles, and each one of these candles gives off a different fragrance. And each one is beautiful by itself, and when it blends with others, it's beautiful. And this candle here reminds me of a woman named Norma. When she, first of all, had been involved with the traditional church, and she just got really disenchanted with that. So she turned to the New Age, and she was involved in everything. She was a vegetarian. She was into Tai Chi. She was into Feng Shui. You name it, she was into it. And she tried everything to look for something to fill the emptiness in her life. She came to know Jesus as her Savior, and her family just were, they just more or less said, let's just wait and see how long this one lasts, because everything else, you know, is here today and gone tomorrow. But Norma came to know Jesus, and her life was totally transformed. And she has a gift of evangelism, and in 1 year, she led 16 members of her family to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doug had the privilege to baptize 7 members of her family, her uncle and 6 of his children, on one day. And 1 week later, her uncle went into the presence of Jesus. How thankful I am for people like Norma, who are not ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who have never heard, and to let the world know that Christ truly does make a difference.
One of these candles reminds me of Mario Ginette, the lawyer that you saw seated in the picture. He likes to tell the story about lawyers. And there is this long, long line going into heaven. And St. Peter receives a lawyer at the gate. And he says, come on in. We've been waiting for you. We've been looking forward to having you come. And this long line starts complaining. Well, why could he go in before us? We've been waiting for a long time. And St. Peter said, well, we have hundreds and thousands of you ministers and pastors, but this is our first lawyer. Mario Ginette was also in the New Age. He became bankrupt. He was out preaching the New Age throughout the city of Cali. He is known for that teaching. Now he has thrown that all overboard and said, no more do I want to trust in myself, in my ability to be like a God for myself. I want to trust in the real living God, Jesus Christ. And he is now shining example of what Christ can do in a life. I think also of one of these candles that may represent Germán Oviedo. Germán was, we believe, in the drug traffic. And he also had a house of prostitution. He had a car dealership. And one day somebody threw a grenade at him and blew his leg off. He began to search for truth and life. He realized that he could not trust himself. He was not invincible. That life was short. That he had to do something. And he did not trust the traditional church. So he came looking for evangelicals. And he found us. Today, he is no longer an owner of a house of prostitution. He got rid of that. He got rid of his business that was illegal. And today, he is honoring the Lord. He's been married to that woman he was living with. They now have a child, and they were not able to have a child. God has given them grace to be baptized and to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of people lighting the world, could it be somebody who was so evil once upon a time and then become bright, shining light? He loves the Word of God. He has taught classes in the Encounter Church there in West Cali. I just feel privileged to work with people who have left their sinful lives and allowed their lives to become lights in a world.
Not only do we have lawyers and people who are able to witness, but this little candle here reminds me of a humble little lady named Ollie. She was hired to be the custodian at the church, and she lived in a little one-room apartment in the back of the church. And she'd be up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and she would be there till midnight. No matter when the church was open, Dolly was there to open the door and close the door and to sweep up and clean up after everybody. But Dolly has such a gift of giving. This is a lady who doesn't have anything at all. But any time Doug and I have ever gone to that church, if we would walk in and she was making breakfast, she shared her eggs with us. If we walked in and she was having lunch, she would give us a plate of beans and rice. It didn't matter what she had. She always had enough to share because God's given her the gift of giving. And we who have so much, you know, we find it so hard to share sometimes. But this woman, no matter what she had, she shared with other people. And usually the classes don't mix there, but God's given her an amazing ministry. When people call on the telephone, she answers the phone, and she's been there long enough that everybody knows Dolly, and she's a wonderful counselor. So this woman has been a real light to a darkened world, and that's what God expects us to be in the body of Christ, each one with differing gifts from differing backgrounds, but all spreading everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. When you see these candles lined up here, Do any of these candles represent your life? Are you hung up on your tradition? Are you looking to other things to satisfy you? Do you wallow in your own self-pity? Or are you just hanging around, never really gotten involved in the church? Or do you float from place to place, looking for the perfect church, and as soon as you get there, it's not perfect? Are you tea light for Jesus, or are you sunbeam for Jesus? Are you letting your light shine? Whether you're young or old, as long as we can give light, we need to lighten our darkened world. There's a song that says, there's a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold, but the Holy Spirit brings the fire. He lights the candle and makes it home. So it says, what are we supposed to do? Carry our candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. There's a world out there that needs to be lit. There's a world out there that needs the gospel. Remember in Sunday school what you sing? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. There's a world out there that needs to know Christ. We belong to the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We're not just missionaries in Colombia and Japan and Taiwan and New Zealand or wherever we send missionaries. But the Lord wants us to be missionaries here in Norwin, in the area where we live. He wants us to take our light. And He wants us to go and lighten a darkened world. You know, more and more as I come back to the States, I see a hurting United States. And I see a world that needs Jesus. We believe in Christ our Savior. We believe in Christ our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. And it says that this gospel must be preached in the entire world. And then the end will come. So if we truly want to herald back the coming of the King, we need to go and share the gospel with those who have never heard. Let's take our lights and let's go lighten a darkened world. I'd like to invite you to stand. And I'm sure that all of you have a little candle there. Remember that song we used to sing? And we're going to sing that song, okay? And then we're going to take our lights and we're going to go lighten our darkened world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Norwin, I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Norwin, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over the whole wide world. I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over the whole wide world. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How long? Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now I'm going to blow out these candles, but we're not going to, this one out, we're going to take it, and we're going to light our world.
May God bless you. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.